they fixed him a breakfast of ham and eggs. And the pig didn't like that very well because he says, well, that takes a whole lot more commitment on my part than it does on yours. So, you know, it's nice telling clean jokes because, you know, most people haven't heard them before. Well, last night, as Pastor Jacob said, I spoke about faith and God creating a new heart, creating something new in our lives. He begins a transformation in our lives and in our relationships. Now I want to talk about the promise. But, you know, we're talking about faith, now the promise. And it's kind of funny. My mind doesn't work the same as everyone's mind. And so I came out with this scripture out of Proverbs chapter 3. And to me, it talks about our promise, about giving, you know, what we promise to God when we make a commitment to Him. And one of those promises is our giving of our tithes and offerings. But let me read the scripture from Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Now, many of you have memorized this, or at least I did when I was younger, and I, you know, refreshed my memory sometimes. So a lot of people memorize these, but we never go on to the next three verses here. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Notice that says new wine, huh? In Exodus 23, and now I'm going to go to another scripture. You don't have to look it up if you don't want, but God instituted three festivals. He instituted the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Harvest with the first fruits, and the Feast of Ingathering. Now, the first fruit of unleavened bread, which we know as the Passover, would correlate closely with Easter, you know, because it was the Passover that Jesus and his disciples were celebrating when Jesus then was crucified, and then on that Sunday morning he was raised. And so that would correlate with Easter for us. The third feast in that chapter talks about the Feast of Ingathering, which is when they finished gathering in all their crops. What would that correlate with today? That would correlate with our Thanksgiving, you know, giving thanks to God for the, you know, a fruitful harvest and being grateful. So, but what in the world was the Festival of First Fruits, the Feast of Harvest with the First Fruits? What does that correlate with? And I don't think it, you know, and I was trying to think, I'm not sure there are many things that we do today that it does correlate with, but I believe one thing it does is with faith promise. And I'd like to share a few reasons why I think that. In verse 9 here of Proverbs, coming back to Proverbs chapter 3, it speaks of honoring God with your wealth. And then in the next line, which would be a parallel line, it talks about with the first fruits of your crops. Now, I believe in tithing. I believe very strongly in tithing. But I'm not preaching on tithing tonight. I don't think First Fruits is not speaking of tithing. I think we should tithe. I think we ought to do it. And I've practiced it for many, many years myself, and the Lord has always blessed me through it. And I believe, you know, the tithe means giving of 10% of our income, and I believe it should be given to the local congregation. I believe that very strongly. But this scripture that I'm talking about is talking about offerings. You know, the Bible talks about tithes and offerings, and sometimes we say that so fast and go over it so fast that we don't even think about it. Okay, the tithe means a tithe. The offerings, I believe, are above and beyond our tithe. Faith promise and first fruits is about giving out of the wealth God has given to you. The children of Israel were told to give the very first crops which they had. So you think about it for a minute. It had been, you know, possibly 12 months or, you know, or nearly that since they had had a harvest. And what usually happens, if you're living, you know, in an agricultural society, which they were, what tends to happen right before you bring in the harvest? Well, you start running out of last year's harvest. Yeah, and you start, you know, if especially if last year's harvest was a little sparse, you may have already run out of last year's harvest. And here God is telling the children of Israel, give out of the first fruits, the first thing that comes out of the field, you know, whether it's the first bushel of wheat or the first big bunch of grapes or the first whatever it is, bring that in and have a festival to God and praise God for the first fruits. How many of you, when you've gotten your new job, you know, say you've just got a job and you got your first paycheck, did you take $10 out of your first paycheck and run down to the church and say, praise the Lord, I got my first paycheck, and put $10 in the offering? Well, I think that's the mentality here. This is the kind of thing of talking about when we're talking about first fruits. And I think it says, you know, all of our giving to God, I think, says this, but I think first fruits says, you know, indicates that one of the things it indicates is that everything belongs to God. You know, we're recognizing God, recognizing that all of the income, all of the provision that he makes for us belongs to him in the first place. So we should honor him by giving back to him a portion of that. We're also saying that it comes from God, and God will provide whatever else is needed. So it's an act of faith. When we give the first thing that comes in back to God, we're saying, God, this comes from you, and we believe that there is more coming behind it, and so as an act of faith, we're going to give this back to you, believing that you're going to provide everything necessary now for, you know, what we need. And I think that, in a real sense, embodies what faith promise is all about, is it letting God know that, you know, or, you know, letting others and God know that we have enough faith to believe that he's going to provide everything. And of course, it also says something about God, that he is a wealthy God. The Bible says he's a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And we believe that he's a big enough God to do all of this. I believe faith promise is about stretching yourself so that the work of God is evident in your life. But I know that this is a big but. when you say, God is going to provide. This is where the jokes come in, because I needed to loosen you up a little bit for this part of the message. You know, if you can't handle being your toes being stepped on, you better leave now. I don't know. I'm thankful that I don't know any of you well enough that I know whether or not this is true about any particular person here. But there are some people, I'm not a gambling person, but if I were a gambling person, I would lay money on it that there are some people here that have a hard time giving to God and are going to have a hard time giving to God even in faith promised or tithes and offerings because of the way they handle their finances in the last year. You know, when I work with people, I work with a lot of people who consider themselves poor. But some of those people that consider themselves poor bring in more income or more goods in a year's time than sometimes Debbie and I have in a year's time. But it's just like it comes in and it goes out so fast that they don't even realize that it's passed through their hands. They haven't learned how to manage what they have. And there may be someone here, and I don't know that there is anybody here tonight, that has managed their funds so poorly that, you know, they've got debt stacked up to where they can't even, you know, pay all of their debt. One of the things, you know, my father-in-law, Brother Mink, often says is you can't be generous with other people's money. You know, if you're going to be generous and give to God, you have to be generous with something that's your own. You can't take something from somebody else and give it to God and say, I've been generous with that. Or you can't take something from someone else and give it to someone else and say that's generosity. Not when you are so far in debt you can't even make, you know, payments on things. Now, I hope there's nobody here in that kind of situation. But I know that it's very possible. Or if you're not quite in that situation, you might be getting there pretty fast. Because I know a lot of people that their philosophy is spend now, pay your debts later. I know someone back in Scott's Bluff, he just got his income tax return. And he already had ideas on how he was going to spend all that money. In fact, he'd already spent some of it before he got it. And then the government garnished it all because he owned back child support. And, you know, he wasn't managing his money very well. And so it's hard for someone like that to be generous when they already owe someone else. Now, I know there are situations where people can get in debt, you know, because of illness or things that are not really their own fault. But there are many people today, we live in the richest country in the world that has the most opportunity in the world, but yet they cannot meet, you know, even their basic requirements. Now, how many here would like to, you know, somebody to write them out a check tonight for $1 million? I think probably everybody here would like that. Now, if you had a choice, you know, to have someone write out a check for $1 million to you, or you had a choice of having 1 million friends, what should you choose? Yeah. You can buy friends with $1 million, can't you? And some of you, I'm sure, would choose one and some would choose the other. But just think about it for a minute. If you truly have, you know, if you have one friend and that person's truly your friend, could you walk up to that friend and say, well, I'm $20 short this week. Would you give me $20? A friend would give you $20, wouldn't it? So if you had 1 million friends and they each gave you $20, what would you have? You'd have 20. So you know, just in that simple example, I would say a million friends is worth a whole lot more than $1 million, right? Well, how about if you just had one friend, but he was a billionaire? Now, I'd like to have a friend that was, you know, with a B, not with an M, but with a B, billionaire. Now, when I start, you know, I must confess, I don't have any friends that are a billionaire, but I am aware of someone in the Church of God who, you know, made it to the Forbes 400 list. And everybody on the Forbes 400 list, you know, the richest people in America this year, were billionaires. And when somebody, you know, is a, you know, on in a publicly traded company, you can look up, you know, and see what kind of transactions they make. And I looked up on the internet, and this person sold, you know, he was getting out of this one company. He'd started this company, and he was selling it. He'd sold in one transaction. It was over $250 million worth of stock in this company. In just one transaction. You know, when I start looking at figures like that, it starts making me dizzy. Thinking about that much money. But, you know, just thinking about having a friend that has that much money just kind of makes us astounded, doesn't it? But let's get out of the stratosphere now and get a little bit more back down to earth. I know none of you are that rich. I'm pretty sure of that. I don't know all your finances, but I'm pretty sure nobody here is that rich. But we all know somebody that is the creator of the universe. You know, is more wealthy than any one person or any 100 people or a million or a billion people could be. It's Jesus Christ who, you know, the Bible says owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. That's, you know, we know somebody that owns a ranch in the sand hills. You know, that's about a medium-sized ranch, you know, is a cattle on 1,000 hills. It's saying God owns everything. And he has the resources beyond our wildest dreams. Even as I've been dreaming here and helping you to dream, you know, I don't know about you, but I fantasize about money sometimes. Maybe none of you do, but I do once in a while. But God is greater and bigger than anything. One of the things that I learned over in Iraq when I was over there is that I can learn a lot from other people and other groups. Now, in my previous experience, I was familiar, you know, when they have different, you know, each military base tries to have different kinds of religious services. You know, they have Protestant, and they have Catholic, and they have Jewish, you know, but then they have contemporary Protestant, and they have traditional Protestant, and or liturgical, you know, if they can do all of these. And they also have gospel, you know, which has traditionally been, you know, African American. Well, I got over to Iraq, and they were running the service, you know, full gospel, and I understand what full gospel normally means, but this was their African American service. They called it a full gospel service, and some of those people kind of teach, you know, some of their teaching makes me a little bit uncomfortable because it seems like they're preaching what I'd call a prosperity gospel. Now, I'm not one who would preach that if you give, you know, $100 to the Lord, the Lord's going to give you back $1,000. You know, I'm not one of those. I've heard that preached before, you know, and I believe that if you're faithful and give to God, God will bless you. But he may not give you $1,000. He may give you 10 friends. And is that so bad? That's not, you know, he is going to bless you, you know, when you give. But it's not a one-on-one relationship or a one-on-ten relationship to how much money you give. He's going to bless you in a way that he sees fit. And I learned from these people. And I learned from, you know, that they believe that, you know, if they are faithful to God, God is going to bless them. And they believe that they should try to bless other people. They're out trying to bless people. And it kind of got me excited again. And I, through my 20 years of military service, I never believed that they would allow a non-chaplain to do everything that those African-Americans were doing. They had people, and now many of them were ordained ministers, you know, in their own denominations, but they weren't chaplains, you know. And the military is very technical about letting people that aren't, you know, that aren't, quote, qualified in the military way doing things. But yet, they were able to operate. They would have their services and their altar calls, and they would have 10, 12, 14 ministers lined up, you know, in the front of the theater. We had a theater that seated 700 people, and they showed movies, you know. But on Sunday morning, it was the full gospel service. And they would have an altar call, and people would come flooding down, you know, and praying, you know, some of them accepting Christ, and some of them praying about issues that they had. And the ministers were lined up there, and a couple times I even got in a line there, and people would come up and tell you, you know, what their problem was. And I was truly blessed by that. I thought, man, we can learn something from this. Learn how to deal. And I went to one of their baptismal services where they were baptizing a half a dozen new converts, you know. And it was exciting. I mean, they may not preach everything exactly like I would preach it, but I believe people were really getting saved. And I don't know about anybody else, but I was getting blessed. And so a lot of things we can learn even from others. And I'm not sure how much that fit in with what I was saying tonight, but I believe that God, when we give, and we don't just have to give of our tithe, I believe that faith promise is similar to the idea of first fruits in the Bible. It's letting God know that, God, you have blessed me, and I have the faith to believe that you're going to bless me more, and I'm going to take this amount, whether it's my, you know, part of my first paycheck that I got from my job, whether it's something unexpected that I've gotten that I didn't expect to get. Maybe it's a, you know, every year for the past 10 years I've had to pay my income tax, and this year I got, you know, $500 back from my income tax, or you know, something unexpected coming in, that you're going to turn around and you're going to say, God, you've blessed me, so I'm going to go and bless someone else with this. I'm going to bring it in and put it in the faith promise so that missions around the world can be, you know, positively affected by this. Tomorrow, I'm going to tell a few more stories about people who have come to the Lord, you know, that I've been aware of, and tell stories about why we are giving, you know, money. You know, there's, you know, we can give a lot more things besides money. Sometimes I think our culture is too too money oriented, you know, because there are things that we can give that are as valuable or more valuable than money. But in our faith promise, we are trying to raise funds so that we can, you know, give more to missions so that the world can hear about Jesus Christ. And like Debbie sang in her song, you know, the heartbeat of our mission is to love the Lord our God and to share whether it's across the street or around the world, it doesn't matter. Our mission is the same, is to love God and to love our neighbor. And I would rather see you individually or you as a congregation attempt something fantastic and fall short and maybe even consider that you failed than to attempt something too little and succeed. Too often, we only attempt what we can see. And I know I've been guilty of this in my life. We can see, well, I think $50, might come in this year, that I don't expect, so I'll faith promise $50, and if it comes in, I'll give it. Well, I'm sure the Lord can bless that, but I would like to see you attempt something above and beyond what you could even really expect to come in. Because when we attempt more, usually we get further than when we attempt less. I've learned that in many areas of life. If I'm going out for a walk and I set my goal to walk 5 miles, I'm liable to go a lot further than if I set my goal to walk 500 feet. If I set my goal to walk 500 feet, I'll probably walk 500 feet and then quit and go back home and sit down and turn on the TV again or something like that. If I set my goal to walk 5 miles, so I might only make 3 miles that day. But I attempted a lot more and I got a lot further. And so I would rather see you set your goals beyond what you think you can do. And then just maybe, very possibly, God will come in and do something so miraculous and astound you so much and increase your faith so much. Because what are we talking about? Faith promise? We're promising by faith. We're promising beyond what we can see. If we can see it already, that's not very big faith, is it? We have to promise something beyond what we can see. And you may not bump into any billionaires this year, or you might bump into one or two and not even know it. But try and stretch yourself. Try to make a commitment for above and beyond what you really think is going to happen. And just pray and watch and see what God is going to do in your life. And I believe this is really about first fruits and about sharing what comes, sharing of our wealth. And it's only when we have extra above and beyond our needs that we're able to really be generous with other people. But don't wait until that extra comes. Give at the beginning and see what God is going to do. You don't have to, that doesn't mean you have to write out a check for $10,000 and put it in the offering plate even before it's in the bank. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about stretching yourself and giving God an opportunity to work in your life. Because if you give him an opportunity, he is able to do far above what you would ever dream or think. Okay, thank you.